here. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. It is my joy to be here this morning. I want to say thank you to your pastor and to the officers and the good folks here at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church and allowing me to come this morning and bring this message. I hope that you'll come every night this week, Monday through Thursday. The theme we have adopted is Just a Spark. And I believe Monday night I've got a message about the fire of God. I tell you this, I need God's fire. I believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs God's fire. And if there's going to be hope for America, it's not going to come from the White House. It's going to come from the church house. And so let's get together. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Let's trust Him to give us His blessing and give us His fire from above. I've enjoyed my visit already here this morning. I appreciate the songs by the kids. That was delightful. And the ladies, they did an excellent job. If that don't get your motor running, you need to go to the garage and get something fixed. That'll bless your heart. I enjoyed that. You know, I believe God's in this place. That's why I'm here today. I'm glad you're here today. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you would, this morning. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Hebrews today, chapter 3 and verse 7. And I am really glad to see that Brother Willie Milbury finally woke up. Amen. And you've got a good preacher. You've got a good pastor. And I praise the Lord for him. And I believe God's going to do some great things here at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Hebrews chapter 3. And I'd like to read verse 7. Now, if you got it, say amen. I see we got to get you going here this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And you say well, glory.
Well, glory.
Amen. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning rejoicing in your goodness to us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, it's great to be your child. An honor to be your servant. Lord, we ask today for that very special unction, that very special anointing. God, bless us with your presence, with your power. Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts mightily today. Use this servant. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to select from our text this morning one word. That's the word today. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, I walk down the hall in a hospital in Fort Worth, looking for a room. I found the room. I went in. One of the ladies of the church, I chatted with her just a little bit. The hour was near for her surgery. I took her hand. I was going to pray with her. And she looked at me and she said, "Preacher, do you think God will forgive me of all of my sins?" Now, that's not a good question to ask an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, God-fearing, Jesus-loving, soul-winning Baptist preacher. Now, what I wanted to do, I didn't do. She said, "Do you think God will forgive me of all my sins?" I wanted to throw my hands up and do my little dance and say, "Yeah! Yes! Yes! God will forgive you." But being such a man of dignity, I maintained my composure. and said, well, sure he will. He said in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then she said this, preacher, when I get out of here, I'm going to be in every service. When I get out of here, I'm going to be there every Sunday, and I'm going to be there every Wednesday. And preacher, when I get out of here, I'm going to be faithful. If I could paraphrase that for you, she said this, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to be faithful tomorrow. But did you know what? Tomorrow never came. She went into her surgery, and then she slipped out into eternity. She slipped out into eternity saying, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. There's a key word found in the book of Hebrews here in this third chapter. We read it in verse 7. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost saith today. Again in verse 13. But exhort one another daily what it is called today. Again in verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice. The speaker is that magnificent speaker. It is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost saith, it was in the beginning. The earth was void and without form. And the Spirit of God moved up on the face of the earth. It was that Holy Ghost that breathed into that lump of clay that the Master had fashioned and made that was called Adam and gave him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Here is a momentous word today. Here is a word of relevancy. Today, here is a word of urgency. Today, here is a word of golden opportunity. It is the word today. God said today. Our God is a God of today. In the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, reading from verse 58, the Scriptures say, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And if you are a student of the Word of God, if you're a child of God, you've heard that expression before. Jesus said, I am. It is an act of self-identification. He is telling us who He is. It is a proclamation of deity. I am. He identified Himself with Jehovah. He identified Himself with the God of the bush that burned. He identified Himself. Moses said to that bush, whom shall I say has sent me? And the response that he received back was that expression, I am. That expression, I am, is not past. It is not future, but it is present tense. I am. Our God is the God of today. When He said today, He set the time of His working. John 9:4, we read, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is today. The night cometh when no man can work. When I say God has set the time of His working, He certainly has. It is the daytime. Have you heard the expression from can to can't? What does that mean, work in the fields from can to can't? Meaning that you go to work when you can see and you quit when you can't see. And so you work the day. And so here we find the time of God's working is from can to can. God works in the day and the night is coming. Today is the day. That word today gives us the limits of God's grace. He said in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You know, the grace that we enjoy today is not a grace that's going to go on forever. I believe God has set a time of accountability. God has set a day of, let's use a very strong word, judgment. There's going to be judgment. God judged the world of Noah. God opened the heavens and the rain fell down. God judged the day of Sodom and Gomorrah. He opened the heavens and fire and brimstone fell. And one day God's going to judge us. The heavens are going to open and the Son of Man is going to return. Jesus is coming. Somebody say amen. Today. The Holy Ghost saith, today, that's the hour that God is near. Today, Isaiah 55 and 6, the scriptures say, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God is near. You cannot reach and touch him with your hand. I don't believe that you can see him with your eye. But I'm convinced that God is near. The poet said he's closer than hands. He's closer than feet. God is near. Today, the Holy Ghost saith, today. Today is that day. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, we find that a day of redemption. The Bible says, behold, well, that's God's red light going off. That's the horn blowing. That's the drums beating. Behold, God says, let me have your attention. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of redemption. There was an ancient Saxon king who put down a rebellion in his kingdom. He lit a candle and set it in the archway there in the castle. And he told his people, whosoever would lay down their arms and take an oath of loyalty would receive clemency and mercy. The offer was good as long as the candle burned. Did you know God has given us a candle of grace? He said in Romans 5 and 20, wherefore sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Now the Apostle Paul said he was chief of sinners. Anybody know that? The only reason he could say that because I hadn't been born yet. But I suspect when a group of human beings get together, there's some sinners in the midst. I'm glad to say, as great as my sin is this morning, God's grace is greater still. Though my sin may abound, God's grace does much more abound. What is that definition? We've offered this one, the kindness of God. It is the kindness of God to undeserving sinners for Jesus' sake. God would give us His everything for our nothing. Romans 8:32, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall not he with him not also freely give us all things? God has lit the candle of grace. It is the day of redemption. God has chosen to show mercy. He said in the book of Hebrews 8 and 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I like it when God says He will. There's some things God said He will do. There's some things God said He won't do. Now He said very plainly, I will have mercy. I'm glad to tell you this morning, God is a merciful God. We have a marquee outside the church, and they have a smart aleck for preachers. And so we're always putting things on the marquee out there. One of the statements we put out there was this, free grace, but hurry, offer may end soon. And so it is, God has lit the candle of grace. And God has said, I will have mercy. And God has opened the door. He said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, I'm a reader. Anybody here a reader? I like to read. Been reading since I was yay high. My daddy was a reader. I enjoy reading the Bible. I enjoy reading books about the Bible. I believe I could speak as someone with a little bit of authority when it comes to words and speakers. What I find here is nobody ever spoke like Jesus Christ. Oh, such things that he had to say. He was either a madman or he's the Lord of glory. I believe he's the Lord of glory. And he said, I am. There again, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved. That door. Isn't that a simple thought? I mean, you can tell a child, just a little child, say, hey, go open the door, and they'll run to open the door. That is so simple, that is profound. That is so small, that is powerful. He said, I am the door. That's personally, I am the door. That's exclusively by me, if any man shall enter in. I tell you something this morning. I'm jealous for Jesus. The last 50 years, he's gone unchallenged in this nation as far as Lord and Savior. But as of late, we've seen different Saviors coming into view, different gods coming into view. It's all what it is. It's politically incorrect to say there is one Lord and one Savior, and he is Jesus Christ. But we must be true, not to this nation, not to some ideology, not to some political party. We must be true to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Exclusively, he said, by me, if any man will enter. I'm glad to tell you this morning that the gospel that we preach is good for Texans, it's good for Oklahomans, it's good for Americans, it's good for Germans, it's good for the Japanese, it's good for the Russians, it's good for the Africans, it's good for the South Americans, it is good for the whole world. If any man, we ought to shout it. If any man, we ought to say, it. If any man, we ought to praise it. If any man will enter in, here's the expression, he shall be saved. I like that word shall. Anybody do that word shall? That's not an if, that's not an and, that's not a maybe, that's not a possibility, that's definite, that's a surety, that's a certainty. God said shall. I'm going to heaven on the backs of a shall. Some years back, Motel 6 had some commercials out. They were kind of, homey kind of commercials. Part of it said this, we'll leave the door unlocked and the lights on. God has left the door unlocked for us. And the lights are on. The candle of grace is burning brightly. God has said, I will have mercy. The door is open. Let me suggest to you, today is the day of redemption. But oh, the Father is waiting. You know the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. I'll not take time to read it to you. But when the prodigal came to himself, thank God he did come to himself. Have you come to yourself, my friend? And so the prodigal, when he got ready to go home, I'm sure he must have wondered, we'll use some of that sanctified imagination that brother was using in Sunday school this morning. Sanctified imagination. I can imagine that prodigal son thought to himself, what will the father say? What will the father do? Will he want me? Will he welcome me home? What kind of picture do you have of God? Is God a bully? Is God in your mind standing there with a baton? The same saying, I can't wait till you get here. No. We turn to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, and we read verse 20. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Did you know the only time in the Bible that it is said that God ran is found in this passage right here? Our God ran. It was a time when I could run. Not anymore, not lately. But God ran. I'm reminded of a story, of the popular song. Popular with some. It was years ago, yeah? Time gets away. It was years ago. The name of the title of the tune was The Yellow Ribbon, the old Yellow Ribbon. Tie a Yellow Ribbon. It's about a fellow who got sent to prison. And he served his time, and he was getting ready to go home. He wrote a letter to his dear wife, and asked her if she would to forgive him and receive him back. And he expressed that it was his fault, that he had done wrong, that he had caused all this misery and trouble. And he said he was taking the bus back, and as he come through town on the bus, if you'll forgive me, if you'll take me back, then tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Well, his time came, he got out, he made his journey, got on the bus, he is on his way home. And I wonder what went through his mind. Will they open the door to me? Will they accept me? Will they forgive me? Will anybody want me? And he shared his story with those that was on the bus. When they came into town and drove near the place where the old oak tree was, he lifted up his eyes and with great anticipation he looked, and what did he see? Not one yellow ribbon around that tree, but instead 100 yellow ribbons tied on the tree. The bus erupted. They clapped hands. They shouted together. Tears ran. But let me tell you this morning, dear friend, God has not tied a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Oh, but there is an old tree, and it's ringed with red. The Father has tied a red ribbon around that tree. It is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. And with open arms, He waits for you and He waits for me. It is the day of redemption. Today, the Holy Ghost said, today. Let me add to that. This is the day of repentance. Second Chronicles 7. My people, which are called by thy name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. The day of repentance, the Holy Ghost saith, today. And we're talking about repentance now. Let me define repentance for you. Some folks think repentance is a change of mind. I believe they only got it half right. It is a change of mind that results in a change of heart that ultimately brings about a change of life. Repentance is a turning to God from sin. God said to the church at Ephesus, who had lost their first love, He spoke one word to them, and that was to repent. God said to the church at Laodicea that had become lukewarm, He said to them, repent. I believe God's got a word for America today. That word is repent. And if I may take liberty this morning, let me say to you, God says to the Good Shepherd Baptist Church, repent. This is the day of redemption. This is the day of repentance. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We have become a psychologized society. Yeah, instead of turning to the preacher for advice, we turn to the psychologist today. Human psychology has an approach to sin. That approach to sin is denial. We were watching American's Funniest Videos, something like that. And it showed a picture of a chocolate cake and a little girl. And she had got into that chocolate cake. She had it all over her hands, all over her face. And it showed her mother talking to her and saying, did you get into that cake? Oh, no. Not me. I mean, you just covered her from one end to the other. That's like us today. Have you sinned? Oh, no. Not me. And we got cake all over us from the top of our head down to the bottom of our feet. We deny today. Rather than being honest and truthful and facing up to the situation in our life, we look right in people's face and tell them the biggest, boldest lie. Not me. Humanistic psychology changes the labels. We like to change labels, don't we? Yeah. It's not an affair. No, it's adultery. The Bible speaks to it. It's adultery to take someone outside of your marriage relationship. The one that is given, that God has given you, is to commit adultery, not to have an affair. And I think about, as the brother mentioned this morning, homosexuality. It's become accepted in America. They're trying to cram it down our throat. That's what they're trying to do. And they've given us a label change, gay. There ain't nothing in the world gay about it. It is still homosexuality. God uses a choice word for it. He calls it an abomination. Somebody say amen. I think again of the sickness of alcoholism. Now those are good psychologized words, but you won't find the word alcoholism in the Bible. What you find is drunk. Drunk. That says no drunkards shall have a part in the kingdom of God. Now you're looking at an ex-drunkard. You're looking at a saved drunkard. That's what he said to the church at Corinth. And such were some of you. But now you're justified. Now you're sanctified. Now you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We deny our sin. We change the label. We even blame shift. We say, well, others made me do it. Society made me do it. We blame our parents. Yeah, well, I had a problem in my home. Who doesn't have a problem in their home? You don't have to live like mama. You don't have to live like daddy. You don't have to follow their example. You've got a book. Jesus Christ is our example. Talked about rationalizing our sin. Boy, I just can't help myself. Every time I get around donuts, it happens. I just can't help myself. That's just the way I am. You know, that's just me, man. That's just me. Hello there. It's called repentance. It's time to get past that me and get right with God. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Prosper, the world calls that success. I call it something else. I call it the blessing of God. Amen. Now, let me ask you something. This is serious. Do you want the blessing of God on your life? Do you want the blessing of God on your life? Do you want God to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you'll not have room enough to receive? Then, my friend, there must be confession and repentance from our sin. For if we do not do that, then we will forfeit the blessing of God. Oh, to be a child of God and not be blessed. It's almost inconceivable to think to be a child of God and not be blessed. God has given us a divine approach to our sin. That is confessing our sin and forsaking our sin. It's amazing today that we just want to utter a little prayer and say it's over with. I believe in confession, but I also believe in forsaking. Repentance is more than confession. Repentance is the forsaking of sin. We must confess and forsake our sin. For if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. God's given us space to repent. Now, folks have talked about all that's going on in America, God's going to judge America. Let me make a suggestion to you. God is already judging America. If you'll read Romans 1 and 2, the judgment of God was to give them over to a reprobate mind, to practice these things that are happening in our nation today. God is already judging this great nation. Let me sum this thought up to you. Don't you run off. That's number one. Ooh. Today's the day. Now's the time. This is the opportunity. God says, the Holy Ghost says, today this is the day of redemption. Today this is the day of repentance. God says today. The devil says tomorrow. Tomorrow. The finest masterpiece of strategy, I believe, ever invented. Let's imagine. Alright, here's a fable. The devil said to his imps, how shall we damn the souls of men? One said, well, let's tell them there's no God. And the devil said, well, you know, this world, that's a testimony to God. Another said, well, let's tell them there's no heaven. He said, oh, well, you know, Jesus ascended into heaven. Another one said, well, we'll tell him there's no hell. Well, you know, Jesus said more about hell than he did about heaven. And then finally one devil said, hey, let's tell them it's okay to get right with God. Just go ahead and get right with God. But not today. Do it tomorrow. Do it another day. Not right now. Wait for tomorrow. The Holy Ghost says today. The devil says tomorrow. The Scriptures say today. The flesh says tomorrow. You know, as I look at the Scriptures, I believe I see the faces of tomorrow men. Let's give them a name. Let's call them a tomorrow man. One such individual is a fellow by the name of Felix. In the book of Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have convenient season, I will call on you. His name is Felix. He was a magistrate. He was a governor in the ancient land. He had the privilege of meeting the Apostle Paul. Paul did what he always does. He witnessed to him. He preached to him. And as he got under the witnessing and the preaching power of the Apostle Paul, he began to tremble. That's called conviction. God brought him under conviction. I would hope this week that we could see the conviction of God on His people. I believe there's only one way that can come. That's through the power of prayer. I believe we need to get on our knees and open our hearts and begin to call on the name of the Lord. What did he say to Paul? He said, go thy way, I will hear thee at a more convenient season. Did you know I have searched the Scriptures and other literatures, and I can find no place where Felix the governor got saved. Felix heard Paul and said, tomorrow, tomorrow, we'll do it another day. But did you know what? Another day never came for Felix. I can remember a young man many years ago at the beginning of my ministry. I was in another city pastoring a church. I knocked on his door. He came to the door. His mother sent me to see him. He was 21 years of age, blonde-headed. He'd had his shirt off that morning. I can still remember. I imagine he'd been out drinking. He liked to rock and roll, and I witnessed to him. I could feel the power of God. And I shared with him the good news. I led him all the way down to the place where he would open his heart and receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he said, not now. And he said this, I want to have some fun in life first. Now, he defined fun differently than I define. He defined fun as sin. I no longer define fun as sin. But that's what he said. I want to have some fun in life. He said, not now. Tomorrow. Within 2 weeks, he was in the hospital. And with the third week, he was gone, slipped out into eternity. That was his last opportunity. That was his final moment to receive the Lord as his Savior. If I'd have known that, I'd have got down on my knees and I'd have begged him. But instead, I stood upright and pleaded with him. And he said, no. He said, not now, tomorrow. But tomorrow never came. How foolish it is to say tomorrow when God says today. For time's sake, I'll not read the story. I'm sure you're acquainted with some of it. When Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Pharaoh said no. And so 10 plagues fell on the land of Egypt. The first plague was the water became blood. The second one was frogs. Anybody here do frogs? As a matter of fact, it says there were frogs everywhere. I mean, there were frogs in the living room. There were frogs in the bedroom. There were frogs in the kitchen. I can imagine one frog, ribbit. I can imagine two frogs, ribbit, ribbit. I can imagine 3 frogs, ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. Can you imagine 10,000 frogs? What a chorus it must have been. There was no peace in the house. The frogs were croaking day and night. And so it was throughout all the land of Egypt. Finally, Pharaoh broke. He said, all right, I'll let you go. And Moses said to him, when? And he said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. You know what he asked for? One more night with the frogs. One more night with the frogs. And we're saying, well, I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to begin to do this. I'm going to do it tomorrow. We say tomorrow. We want one more night in shame. One more night in our guilt. One more night in our misery. Oh, how foolish it is to say tomorrow. God says, today, the foolishness of saying tomorrow, shall we continue in sin? The foolishness of saying tomorrow is speaking of a day that may never come. Augustine said, God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised tomorrow to your procrastination. When I say we speak of a day that may never come, when we say tomorrow instead of today, let us remember that life is so uncertain. Let us remember that death is so sure. When I was a rookie preacher, I was associate, First Baptist Church in Rendon, Texas, Dr. Lonnie Eccles' pastor, he took a little trip and left me in charge. I'm the head man. Yeah. I preached the message. I answered the telephone. Yeah. A lady called. Didn't know her from Adam. She said, would you go see my son? He's an alcoholic. She told me his address. And I said, yes. Well, Wednesday service came, passed. Thursday came. And we was ready to go visit. But we had several first-time visitors that Sunday. And we had always made it the priority to go see them first-time visitors first. So we went that Thursday night to see those first-time visitors. And we ran out of time. I didn't get to see her son. I said, well, this is Thursday. I'll catch him Saturday morning visitation. I went over to get him Saturday morning visitation. I knocked on the door and nobody came to the door. I knocked again. And finally, a gentleman from the next door came walking over to me. And I told him who I was looking for and what I was doing there. He said, friend, he died yesterday. He had a sudden heart attack and died yesterday. I was one day too late. Oh, if I could just go back and have another opportunity. If I could just go back and live that 1 week again, that time again, I would go there. I'd be there. I wouldn't say tomorrow. I wouldn't put it off another day. I would do it that moment. That gentleman slipped out into eternity, not having the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Don't you say tomorrow. God says today. He's the God of today. Today is the day of redemption. Today is the day of repentance. The devil says tomorrow. If you're saying tomorrow, I'm going to get right tomorrow. I'm going to change this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow. You'll become a tomorrow man. And tomorrow doesn't always come for the tomorrow man. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But how many here are gamblers? There was a time I was a gambler. Play a little poker. Shoot some dice. Sometimes I won. Most of the time I lost. Are you a gambler? Oh, it's okay to lose $20, $30, $100, $200. But will you gamble with your soul? Will you gamble with your eternity? Will you gamble with your life? What kind of gambling? That's the gambling of a fool. I don't know about you, but I have put my cards up. And I'm betting on a sure thing. I'm betting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't gamble today. Don't say tomorrow. Say today. The Holy Ghost saith today. Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed and our musicians are coming, would you stand with me this morning for a moment of invitation? When I say invitation, I mean this. This is your opportunity today to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't know that if you died, that you'd go to heaven. Say today and come on. Say now and come on. Don't say another day. Don't say tomorrow. Don't say I'll do it later. Today. The Holy Ghost saying, today. Won't you come? God speaking to your heart. You may not have tomorrow. You may not get home. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm trying to be realistic. I'm trying to tell you the dangers of saying tomorrow rather than today. If you're here this morning, you're saved. You've been born again. You know you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. And there's something in your life that's not pleasing God. Don't say tomorrow. Say today. Come this morning. Get that thing right with God today. If you're here today and you need prayer, if there's a burden in your life, if there's a need in your life, these two men will certainly be glad to pray for you and with you. God speak into your heart today, say now. Do not wait for tomorrow. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We ask your blessings on this humble message. Speak to our hearts. Give glory to yourself in Christ's name. Amen.